views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. With Colette Steffen, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Steffen.
Hi, this is Phil Free. Welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I am filling in for Colette today. Stay tuned for the next hour to experience the instant relief of using your intuition to solve life's most challenging problems. Shift happens every Wednesday at 8 a.m. live on the airwaves and in the archives at thetruthisfunny.com, transformationtalkradio.com, and at transformationradio.fm. The energetic shifts are still accessible through HSN, the Higher Self Network, if you are listening later. Hi, everyone. It's my pleasure today to be filling in for Colette. And today we're going to be sharing some life-transforming information and provide you with an opportunity to call in and delete energetic weaknesses, shift challenges into possibilities. We'd love to hear from you. Feel free to call in. The number is 1-800-930-2819. Today, my guest is my brother, Michael Diliage. We will be talking about the Enneagram again, like last time. How are you today, Michael?
I'm doing well. How are you doing this morning?
Great. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Great. Well, today we're going to be talking about the Enneagram today again, like we did last time you were on, and we're going to expand on what we talked about last time, which was the Enneagram in the workplace. So why don't you tell us briefly about your thoughts about the Enneagram for a minute here?
Well, the Enneagram gives good insight into someone's personality, what their mindset is, what their skill set is. And knowing that, having better discernment about oneself is helpful in terms of maybe finding a career or jobs that we're passionate and good at. So, and I think I've seen this work out in plenty of people's lives before.
Great. Well, why don't we get right into it then and talk about how can we use this knowledge to help us in the workplace, whether it's finding new employees or finding the right jobs for ourselves, whether it's learning how to get along with coworkers. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, of course. I think the way to look at it is what not only what you like, but also things that come naturally to you, and what I call what are people's core competency. So, each number has a corollary with a letter combination of the Myers-Briggs. So a lot of times, knowing your number and your type will help you kind of gauge things that come more naturally. So, for example, I'll ask people, does a job involve working intensively with others or working primarily on your own? And that will be very helpful to see if people are more extrovert and introvert, and see how they get energized, because an extrovert will likely be involved with others and feel charged with that, while an introvert might be drained with that. I don't like more when they're responsible for themselves and they could just be and just check in only once in a while. And then the other question I ask people is, does it require more hands-on activity or more imagination, speculation, and alternatives? Because you have the people who are deep-oriented who want to hear it now, the next step, and then other people who want the bigger picture, the possibilities. They're more the visionary types. And then the last two questions I usually ask people is, do you look for a job that calls for rational decisions and like objectivity and data, or are you more concerned about people-related concerns, growth, healing, things of that sort? Because that will help thinkers and feelers, because thinkers will look more for objectivity, bottom line, things like that. Well, feelers will put the human elements usually into their work, into their profession, and they'll really thrive on that. And the last question I like to ask people is, does your job have heavy structure and schedule demands, or is there room for flexibility and going with the flow? And that will really help for the J, judging and perceiving. The judge will like structure, task-oriented things, deadlines and things like that, while a perceiver will lag going with the flow, flexibility, rough lines. And so it's more about asking those core questions about what kind of feels more natural, what comes more easier to someone. And I think that really helps someone gauge what career or job might be better for them.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a lot of information. So based on our personality types, certain jobs are going to be stronger for us and certain we're not going to thrive at, is what you're saying.
Correct.
Okay. And basically, I heard you say at the end there, J and judge. Sounds like you're using the letters there from the Myers-Briggs. Would you explain why you use the Myers-Briggs, even though we're talking about the Enneagram here?
Yeah, so the Myers-Briggs is a good – there's a lot of correlations with each number, meaning that, for example, one Enneagram type will often be an ESTJ or an ISTJ. So a lot of times, I would say the Enneagram's more in depth in terms of, but the Myers-Briggs kind of helps. It's kind of like a barometer to help you gauge maybe what your number is, and so it's usually a good kind of precursor or kind of like a compass to help someone understand what their number and figure out what their number might be. So that's why I use the Myers-Briggs in conjunction with the Enneagram.
Great. Well, since we are talking about the Enneagram today, why don't you tell us a little bit, why don't you give us an example? How about if we talk about the type one personalities? Would you tell us some of the jobs or professions that you might find a big number of ones in?
Right. So the one, again, is using extrovert, but definitely detailed, very objective, bottom line, and very structured. So they're going to like things such as like accounting, where it's just hard data, where there's not much personal baggage or background. They're going to want things where they can really dive into the details. Usually accounting requires a lot of numbers, things that are objective. So ones and thinkers will usually look for clarity and objectivity. And then being an accountant also requires deadlines and schedules, which is just very natural for a J to be. And then sensing is detail-oriented. And with accounting, it's a skill that is required. So one will really enjoy that because it really plays to their strengths.
Yeah, and would you tell us, I'm sure the listeners might be curious to know some celebrities that might be ones.
So famous ones were, Margaret Thatcher was a one, Ayn Rand, Thomas Jefferson. Those were people that were ones.
For maybe a younger listener, do you know anyone in the current, an actor or someone or a current politician or somebody who might be?
Hillary Clinton is a one. She's very task oriented and has a strong sense of duty, and she's detail oriented and things of that sort. She definitely has a strong command of the world and is very fact. So she would be a very famous one that comes to mind.
Great. Well, we are going to go to break in a couple minutes, but before that, would you tell us quickly about a couple of professions that the twos might be interested in, or might not interested in so much as interested in and attracted to?
So a two is known as the helper. So their greatest virtue is empathy. So they're more the big extroverted, intuitive, and wear their heart on their sleeve, and they definitely go with the flow. So they're going to be great at nursing, teaching as well. Sometimes they could be like writers or entertainers, especially if it's like interaction with people. And they're also great psychologists because it has to do with that empathy with that extroversion, dealing with people, interacting with them, and also with that kind of humane aspect of like the interrelationship aspect, which twos will really resonate with. They tend to have a natural inkling at really like being able to sympathize with people. So that is definitely some professions twos would be. Anything that has to do with nurturing and fostering growth generally, the twos would find it something that comes naturally to them.
Okay, and what about somebody famous who's a two?
Someone famous that is a two, I would say, is like I believe Mother Teresa was probably a two. She was definitely a two. I'm trying to other famous twos, like the person on my head, I think Jane Goodall, if I remember right, she's the one who's taking care of the bees.
Right.
She's also two. A lot of those very, like, a lot of philanthropists and caretakers of the world will two type.
Right on. All right, well, we're going to go to break, and you're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm Phil Free, filling in for Colette today. My guest is Michael Deliage. When we return, we'll continue with him. And please call in at 1-800-930-2819, and we will make some shift happen.
What if your body and mind were the compasses to the secrets, mysteries, and magic of life? Glenna Rice, co-host of The Questionable Parent, is inviting you to access all that is possible. Glenna is a 10-year certified veteran access consciousness facilitator who offers an amazing variety of life-changing classes and workshops. Work with Glenna from anywhere with teleclasses and workshops all over the globe. To learn more and see Glenna's current schedule of events, classes, and workshops, visit glennarice.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough 5-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Thrive is what we experience when our mind, body, and soul operate as one. When we thrive, we excel on all levels. Thrive is the mindset that matters. It is essential to our being. Have you ever found yourself looking for the instruction manual on how to thrive? You'll find everything you need to help you feel strong, powerful, and peaceful in your own body. So don't waste any more time. Visit ThriveByJen.com today.
Gifted intuitive healer and spiritual teacher, Sarah Luce, brings her unique style to the hit show, Small Steps, Big Breakthrough Radio, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Tune in each month as Sarah turns reality on end and shows us how to experience expansive results with simple yet powerful steps. Expect an enlightening bend on what you currently believe is possible. For show details and upcoming topics, visit SarahLuce.com. That's SarahLuoS.com.
1230 WBLQ.
Hi, we are back on The Truth is Funny. I am Phil Free, and I'm filling in for Colette today. My guest today is Michael Deliage. And before we continue, can you actually share your contact information with our audience?
Yeah, of course. My contact information is, my phone number is 415-250-5268. And then the best way to reach me would be my email, m_delage@yahoo.com.
Great. Thanks for that. And of course, if somebody wants to reach out to me, they can email me at whatphil@hotmail.com, which is whatphil@hotmail.com. Well, let's continue with what we were talking about there. Why don't we go through the other numbers? So there are nine personality types in the Enneagram. Why don't we talk about the next numbers? Let's talk about number three. What kind of a profession would a three be good at or attracted to?
So threes are very cool with extroversion. And so they can be very charismatic, outgoing, the life of the party, very driven. So they're good at, like Tony Robbins would be famous three. They're great at motivating people, inspiring them. A lot of politicians, too, are threes. They get charged by being around people. They could be charming. They could be charismatic. They could be outgoing. They're also just natural go-getters. Bill Clinton's another famous three. And they're good coaches, personal trainers. They could be good CEOs of companies as well. Actors, things of that sort.
Great. And since you already mentioned a few people, I'm going to just move along. Why don't we talk about number fours then?
So fours are known as individualist. They're usually very introverted. They're more big picture. They're feelers. And so they like to personalize experiences, and they like to, but they like to let information come to them and go with the flow. So a lot of fours will be good at such as interior decorator, musicians. They can be good teachers if it's a small class size, room for things for creative growth. They can also be good at anything that has to do with healing, because they do value personal relationships and definitely like to bring the humane aspects in people. They're also good writers because they're very naturally creative. And they're creative, such as like Edgar Allan Poe is a very famous four. Or, for example, a designer like Kanye West is a four. Or Jacqueline Onassis or Jacqueline Kennedy, better known as, are famous fours.
Why don't we talk about the fives then? What are the fives attracted to?
So fives are usually introverted. They could be analytical and usually judging types. They like structure and order and deadlines and all that. So they tend to be very cerebral and technical fields. They can be into like programming. They can also be accountants too, because that doesn't require too much extroversion. They can be data and analytics, things of that sort, things where they can crunch numbers, things of that sort. For example, Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg would be famous fives because they're very intellectual, analytical. They're both in computers. That things with hard data, precision, things of that sort, it comes naturally to them. Even though they're famous. In their personal lives, they definitely are recharged by alone time. So those would be famous fives that come to mind. Doctors are another good profession for fives.
Mm-hmm. I see. So how about the number sixes? What about them?
So the six are known as the loyalist. They're very correlated with detail-oriented, the here, the now, the sensory things, hands-on. They're very dedicated usually to institutions. They like to belong. They like to feel like of a team. So a lot of times you'll see them as social workers, sometimes as nurses as well. They could be their thinker or feeler, but they have a sense of service a lot of times, of commitment. You see a lot of sixes as firefighters, police officers as well, people in the military, people in certain government positions, not usually like leadership, but they can be like counselors or certain lawyers as well. But things with a strong sense of belonging and group and being part of a group, So famous like Six Fives would be like John F. Nixon and Robert F. Kennedy, Malcolm X. Those would be famous Six Fives.
Mm-hmm. So you just said 6'5" there. So we'll get into that a little bit more later for the audience, where we're talking about sub categories with wings, and we call them an Enneagram. So a 6 is the main type with a 5 wing is what you're talking about right there.
All right.
But we'll get more into this a little bit later in the show for the sake of continuity. Let's talk about the 7s right now.
So a 7 is known as the enthusiast. They're very extroverted, people oriented, the visionaries, and they definitely like going with the flow and letting information come to them, and they work in bursts of energy. So the 7 is a very upbeat person. They'll be good, and for anything that's like creative, like if you have to maybe set up a big party or big event, they'll be good at that. They're also good authors. They can be also great musicians. Mozart was a very famous 7. Very creative, very outgoing, could see the big picture, can bring a lot of big things together. So sevens are good, usually things that give them a lot of creative space. A lot of sevens are also good at being inventors, things of that sort.
Uh-huh. All right. What about the number 8s? Let's talk about them.
So the 8s are known as the leader or the challenger. So they are extroverted, very analytical, bottom-line type of people, are very to the point. And they usually are J's, meaning they love structure, have to-do lists, very task-oriented, driven. So they're usually very leadership-type people. You see them a lot as CEOs, as high-ranking in the Army. You could see them in certain management positions as well. They have a very commanding presence. They're usually to the point. They know what needs to get done, a little bit blunt, but they are also have a high sense of energy and drive. So famous 8s would be such as Donald Trump. Donald Trump is an 8. Martin Luther King was an 8. Those are some famous 8s that come to mind.
Great. Well, tell me about 9s then, the last number.
9s are known as the peacekeepers, usually introverted, detail-oriented. They're feelers. They definitely are humane. People like to hear the humane aspects of people, and they're usually pretty structured. So they're also be good at things that have to do with caretaking, with nurses, physical therapy, things where they can have like one-on-one or one-on-one time with people, like being encouraging, things of that sort. They're also good teachers because they tend to be very accepting of people, not judgmental, and patient with people. And they seek to bring harmony and understanding. So they can be good counselors as well because people tend to trust them. And so that would be some 9. That's kind of what would be good careers for the 9.
Uh-huh. I see. So basically, do you have some real life examples that you could talk about somebody that's like in the right profession for their number, or somebody who's completely in the wrong profession for their number, or not to say wrong, but you know, in a profession that's would be a struggle for their number. Let's put it that way.
Yes. I'll start with the struggle first. So there was this guy called Oscar, and he was, so he's a 5, which is usually an ISTJ or INTJ, but definitely introvert thinking, judging, planner type. And he was part of the company in terms that they sell cloud computing security to private companies, basically, and they manage that. But he was put on in the Department of Sales. And so even though he's very competent, he was put in a position where he had to really sell himself and interact with a lot of people and be in a lot of meetings and things of that sort and a lot of human relationship aspects. And it's not that he wasn't humane, but he really struggled because even though he had strong opinions and well-researched opinion, being around people all the time really drained him. And for him, he didn't always have the tact for the customer service because he would always be very good with the data and the facts, but not always really tune into the customer very well and that human aspect. So unfortunately, I noticed that he was really struggling in his job, and people were, as coworkers, was asking me about this. And with the knowledge of the Enneagram, I was able to gauge their number and their strengths. So I was suggesting, well, I think they should stay with the company, maybe with switching in something like data analytics, something where they can, or accounting, or those numbers they would really thrive in, because they can be more on their own, very structured, and work with numbers and objective decision making. And eventually, unfortunately, it took them a little while to really heed to that information, but they did. And today he's thriving, and he works in the analytics department for a cloud computing company. So
that's great. Well, we're actually going to have to go to another commercial here. So I just want to give the call-in number if anybody wants to call in. It's 1-800-930-2819. If you want, call in at any point to, and we'll take your calls, answer any questions, or do any correcting for you if you'd like, or shifting, we should say. This is the Shift Happen Show. So call in anytime if you'd like, and we'll be right back.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer, and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
Wow. Hey, everyone. Welcome. Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By. I'm telling you, I got to pinch myself some days, because when each of us gets called to do something that we so not thought was in our wheelhouse to do for a purpose that's so much greater than us, we get to show up and shine.
If you would like to show up and shine on the Dr. Pat Show as a co-host or sponsor, send us an email to inspire@thedrpatshow.com.
Hi, this is Phil Free. I'm filling in for Colette today on The Truth Is on Transformation Talk Radio here. And we are with my guest, Michael Deliage, and we have been discussing the Enneagram. And if anybody wants to call in, they can call in 1-800-930-2819. Let's continue talking about the Enneagram and how certain people, like let's say I'm trying to hire somebody, depending on their position, what are some of the things that the Enneagram might tell me to look for?
Okay, great. So someone had asked me recently about, because they were opening a restaurant with a business partner, and so they're in the process of hiring people. So they wanted they asked, okay, well, who should I hire for what position? Or who would be an easier fit for each position? So one of the first things that came to mind is like, well, a manager. So a manager would probably want to deal with a lot of people. So probably an extrovert, someone that's also a thinker, because they'll look at things objectively. It's always easier for a thinker to hire and fire someone, especially because they'll just look at the bottom line, and they might warn someone, for example, for being late too often. And then if they're late again, say, look, you know, I told you what it was, and you basically fired yourself. And then someone that's like that's real comfortable at task orientation and structure, because those are key ingredients, and you have to manage a lot of people and figure out schedules, different worker schedules. And the one is very has a strong strength of responsibility and detail. So they're usually very, very good with money and finances and things like that. So that would be a good manager type. While a waiter or waitress, you know, usually would be someone, I'd say, either an extrovert to someone who can kind of keep up good conversation, socialize, because in a restaurant you kind of sell as well. And then, but also a feeler, because you want them to have that humane aspect of a customer, kind of check in with how they're doing, things like that. That's good with that tends to really tune in to people's kind of needs and things of that sort. I think those are good for a waitress. And I say for a chef, that can go either way. You might want either an extrovert or an introvert, maybe an intuitive person, someone who can kind of think outside boss pictures, different concepts of meals that can come together, such as like a 4 or 5 could be good at that, maybe even a 7. And things of that sort. Those would be different numbers for different, let's say, positions, like in a restaurant.
Uh huh. So let's say as coworkers, for example, let's say that we have like somebody who's a 5 paired up next to a 3, and they're, you know, in an office or something like that. How can they better get along, or what do they need to know about each other as a 3 and a 5 that would help them get each other? Because right now, maybe they get on each other's nerves or something like that. Expand on
that. So, good question. So the biggest thing too is that is the introversion and extroversion. So the 3, who, as I said, is almost always an extrovert, will tend to go into a 5's office. And extroverts tend to think out loud their thoughts. They like to bounce off ideas. They feel energized being around people. So they might actually, they're going to want to talk things out, how the meeting went, or sometimes I will call like brain dump. They'll unload all their thoughts and are kind of thinking out loud and kind of processing their thoughts as they speak. Well, for the introvert, they actually usually find are energized by being on their own. They actually come up with a deep thought through introspection and quiet time and things of that sort. So an introvert might not have the answer right away for the extrovert, because they want time to process the information, usually alone time, and then communicate it at a set time. So a lot of times an extrovert might assume that the introvert science is that they're not either interested or just don't get it. And then the introvert might be thinking, oh, wow, this extrovert's really a brain drain. I really need my space to kind of process this. And it's more about, and again, it just people speaking two different languages. So being the extrovert can kind of say, okay, this is what I think. Let's check back tomorrow and give the introvert enough time to to kind of process that information and then get back to them on any feedback. An introvert can, and then also be mindful, maybe voice their opinion a little bit more, and sometimes allow the extrovert to kind of because they always know what the most relevant point is right away, and they're kind of figuring it out as they say it out loud. And that can already smooth out some of the difference between fives and threes.
Okay, so to recap, like a three may not want to barge into a five's office, especially unannounced, and a three may want to make an effort to express themselves and take the threes with a grain of salt when they speak, knowing that they're doing a lot of brain dumping, as you say.
Right, and give the introvert time to process and think. So they might share something and then say, okay, let's follow up tomorrow.
Sure. Okay, so how about in politics? You must see this happen in politics, whether we have a presidential debate or some other debate over a law. Do you ever come across that where you find two politicians that it just seems like they have very different language that you speak? Like, as you said, they're speaking different languages. You come across
definitely.
Like that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, for example, and again, I'm not political. I'm not telling anyone to vote for Clinton or for Trump. But that's a big example right there. For example, so they have three letters in common, but they have one letter, the sensing and intuitive difference. So Hillary Clinton being a one and an ESTJ, and Donald an ENTJ, and he's an eight. So if you notice, like Hillary Clinton, she's very factual. This is like the 10-12 point plan. She'll give you data about this foreign policy. We'll work through the facts. And it's very step by step. Like Donald Trump, you know, his slogan was "Make America Great," and you know about big ideas, big symbols. You know, he used a lot of metaphors, like the big picture, the visionary thing. So sometimes people that are, a censor might see someone as intuitive, as not practical, not grounded. Like, okay, like what they're going to want to know, what are the next steps? Like, what's your like plan of actions? Things of that. And then an intuitive might interpret sensing as too myopic, too small-minded. It's like, okay, well, it's good to be that, but you have to see, and an intuitive will want to remind the censor, look, you have to see the big picture. How does this event affect other oncoming other events? And so sometimes you see, it's just how they, that has to do with how people process information. So if you're not aware of someone else's different way of processing information, there can definitely be a disconnect there in communication.
Uh-huh. So basically, in other words, it's like what you're saying is that sometimes people aren't necessarily connecting on the point that's at hand because their personalities take in information differently, so they may be reacting to the information in a particular way, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely right. So, and again, it's not about right or wrong. It's just two different ways of seeing the coin. Like what I say about sensing intuitives, it's always like one looks at a bunch of trees and sees the forest, and one of them sees the individual trees. So with the Enneagram, you see there's definitely a lot of corollaries with that. Like nines, sixes, ones will have a strong correlation with sensing detail here and now, while fours, twos, and sevens are usually the big picture type. They like to see the possibilities, alternative things like that. They're kind of like the visionaries, usually more creative types. And the other numbers can be on the cusp, like fives and threes. They're, from observation, they seem to be pretty split on that one.
Uh-huh. So basically, when you're a big picture person, and then you're dealing with somebody who's like a detail oriented person, like you were saying in your example, what are some of the little like other? Do you realize that maybe one of them considers the other one a kind of, like you said, exaggerator, and the other one may consider the other one too small minded? Is that the way you would sum it up, kind of?
Yeah, basically, an intuitive might see a sensor as someone that's too myopic, too lost in the details, a little bit lacking imaginations and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
While a sensor might not find the intuitive too vague, might not be able to, my also being not very practically grounded, not being in here in the present, too lost time in the future possibilities. And so, again, it's not about one being better than the other. It's more understanding how one processes the information.
Right. So basically knowing what type you are, knowing what type you're dealing with really can help you to deal with the situation with the person, understand that, okay, well, if I'm the intuitive one, then maybe I shouldn't talk big picture too much if I'm talking to the sensor. And then if I'm the sensor, then maybe I don't want to bore the intuitive with too many details, things like that. But yeah, basically we're going to have to go to break in a minute here. Basically time's been flying here, but we will be back on The Truth is Funny, and feel free to call in. And the number is 1-800-930-2819. And we'll be back to make some shift happen.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
Awareness is universal. Establishing a living awareness through meditation brings peaceful, healthy, and creative well-being into your everyday life. The practice of living awareness, Spiritfire's own meditation practice, is built on this belief and is designed for every level of practitioner. Each year, Spiritfire hosts living awareness meditation retreats that allow you to explore the practice in depth at our retreat center in beautiful Western Massachusetts. Introduce yourself to meditation and the practice at the Foundation's Retreat. Attend, in silence, a silent meditation retreat focused on mindfulness, presence, and nature. Or be engaged with the meditation sittings themselves at the Deepening Retreat. Start adding to your awareness and attend a meditation retreat designed to cultivate consciousness in your everyday life. For details on attending a Living Awareness Meditation Retreat, visit upcoming events at www.spiritfire.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Mouthing Off with Chef Rossi. Chef Rossi mouths off about different subjects in pursuit of breaking down walls and opening up your minds. She and Dr. Pat banter back and forth, taking from the headlines of the day on subjects that reach beyond what goes on in the world into your hearts. And go to theragingskillet.com to find out more and let Chef Rossi know what's on your mind.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
30 WPLQ.
Hi, this is Phil Free. I'm filling in for Colette today on Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. You can reach me at whatphil@hotmail.com, W-H-A-T-P-H-I-L @hotmail.com. And I've been talking with my brother here, Michael, and we've been talking about the Enneagram today. Would you tell us a little bit about how there are patterns and triads and that fit together? And for example, every triad has a certain weakness, if you'd like. Or, why don't you get into that a little bit?
I'll jump in a nutshell. Yeah. So basically, there are three triads. So the nine individual types are divided by in groups of three. So two, three, four will usually struggle with shame, things of identity, reflecting on the past, things of that sort. The fives, sixes, and sevens are usually future thinking. Their big issue is anxiety, worrying about what might happen, and things of that sort. And the eight, nines, and ones are the most focused on the present, and their issue is anger and boundaries and things of that sort. And I'm sure when you're doing your energetic healing, that's probably topics that come up a lot, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, definitely. So, right. So that's kind of why we're working together too, is because we realize that the Enneagram, like having this information, basically helps me in the energetic work to zero in on. To zero in on basically what to work on. So if I know I'm dealing with a 2, 3, 4, like you said, then I might quickly want to look into, do they have issues with shame? And so if so, then that gives me a ballpark right away to work in, to work with. And so instead of kind of, it just saves me a lot of questions. So basically once I zero in on their type, I'm able to know what that type's issues are and then address those issues. Obviously not everybody of that type will have that issue, but it gives me just some obvious questions to go to really, really quickly. And that's part of one of the reasons that, you know, I'm teaming up with the knowledge of the Enneagram, and that's why we're talking about it here on the show. And of course, you know, when we're on together, and which we will be again next month, you know, people can call about the Enneagram more, about energy shifting if they want, because we're going to kind of combine them a little bit more as we go. And it's somewhat of work in progress, but it's what we've been doing. So I know that we still have a few minutes here. Is there another, I know you mentioned we talked about triads. So is there other triads with this Enneagram that we can connect other than the ones you mentioned?
Those are the most relative ones, commonplace ones. There are ones that we call the assertive types, which are 3, 7, and 8. They tend to be the most assertive when healthy, aggressive when not healthy, usually the most extroverted type as well. And then you have the people that are like 9, 4s, and 5s are like the withdrawns, meaning they tend to be the most introverted, self-reflective, things of that sort. So those are also certain triads that come to mind. Those are certain triads that come to mind. But I want to ask you about your the energetic healing. So has it helped you kind of like gauge, ask people questions, get more to the point and things of that sort, and help you relate to people that might be a different number in letters?
Sure, definitely. That's why, that's another reason why we're doing this too, is because of those things. It has, it helps, like, you know, where I just had some blind spots or whatever, had some blockages for myself. There's just, you know, it opened up some doors and, you know, just gave me like certain things. So like, even like this other triad you just talked about, like if I take one group, which would be like the withdrawals, for example, then again, it's just like I may not want to be as forward or pushy or something like that with a withdrawn person, if I know that about them, or I may know that they have issues with speaking up. So I may want to look at that when I'm looking at their energy and to see if there is any issues with that. And so it helps me a lot. It helps me zero in. It helps me in conversations with people. I can pretty quickly, like you talked about earlier in the call, how like a five wants time to think about it. Well, I've had an interaction with people like that where, you know, I put them on the spot, like asking, oh, what do you think? And they've gotten really uncomfortable. And then I didn't understand why. And then you and I talked. And then you told me, oh, this other person's a five. Give them some time to reflect on what you're saying and let them get back to you the next day. So from that point on, since you told me that, I did not continue to put that person on the spot. You know, when I was with them, I would, you know, whenever I had a question for them, I made sure I'd give them plenty of time to respond from that point on. So there's a real live example of how I applied this knowledge. And
do you work a lot with people on a one-on-one basis, or do you also work with, let's say, like two siblings together or two relate or like a couple? And do you do mainly one-on-one, or do you sometimes work with couples together? Or
sure. No, I mean, I can work with anybody, you know. Sometimes I've worked with groups, sometimes more often than not it's one-on-one. But yeah, I mean, it's interesting you bring up the couples thing, because that's one of the topics we will talk about in one of the upcoming shows. And is we're going to talk about the Enneagram and how it can help us with couples and basically understanding each other's languages, reactions, et cetera, desires, et cetera, et cetera. And is there something quickly you want to say about that?
I think as you said, we're going to be talking about that in a future show. And I think in terms of whether you're looking for someone, you're looking to date and to find a potential partner, or whether you are in a relationship already, knowing that will help give greater self-understanding and also understanding of the other person, and can it really help just communicate and reach common understanding. And so I think people will find that quite interesting, a quite interesting show.
Great. Well, that's great. And you've helped some people so far with that?
Yes, definitely. I had, there was two people, a couple that are basically disagreeing. And basically, I wouldn't say it was deal breakers at all. They're doing great now. It was just they had very different numbers. They were very different numbers. So consequently, there'd be some disagreements because the extrovert didn't feel very appreciated by the introvert, but the introvert just felt that they were getting drained by their partner because they wanted time to reflect. But when they had that time to energize on their own, they were very present with their partner. So kind of like discussing those things of that sort. And
great.
We'll go into deep next time.
Right. Well, we're running low on time. You want to share your email really quick with us?
Yeah, of course. So my email again is m_deleage, DELEAGE at yahoo.com.
Great. Well, thanks for being on the show. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, absolutely. And this is Phil Free filling in for Colette on The Truth is Funny. Thanks for being on the show. It's been a pleasure to connect with all of you out there in the audience. Big thank you to my guest, Michael, here for being on the show. And thank you, Brian, and the callers. Even though we didn't have any today, I encourage you to call in next time. Colette will be back next week, Wednesday, 8 a.m. And bye for now.
You've been listening to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The Truth is Funny. Visit The Truth is Funny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.